Welcome to this Beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on widening an old school D&B edit using stock devices only. This is a really fun one, because in drum and bass, width is not about making everything massive and stereo all the time. That usually causes problems fast, especially with the kick, snare, and sub. Instead, we're going to widen the right parts of the edit so the groove stays punchy in the middle, while the texture and movement spread out to the sides. That's the classic trick, tight center, animated edges, very old school, very effective. So the goal for this lesson is simple. Take a drum break or old school style loop, keep the important hits solid and focused, then add width using only Ableton stock devices. By the end, your edit should feel wider, more alive, and more DJ friendly without falling apart in mono. Let's get into it. First, choose a break or drum loop that already has some movement. A 1-bar or 2-bar loop is perfect for beginners. You want something with clear kick and snare hits, plus a little hat texture or room noise. If the loop is super busy, it becomes harder to hear what your widening is actually doing. If it's too thin, you can always layer more later, but start simple. Drag the loop into an audio track in Ableton Live 12. If it needs warping, turn that on and make sure it lines up nicely with the grid. Don't worry about making it perfect yet. At this stage, we just want a solid loop that grooves. Now, before we widen anything, we clean it up. Put utility on the drum track first. For now, leave width at 100%. Use the gain control only if the clip is too loud or too quiet. This is a good habit, because it keeps your level consistent while you work. After utility, at EQ 8. We're not doing extreme surgery here. Just a few beginner-friendly cleanup moves. If the loop has low rumble, gently high-pass around 25 to 35 Hz. If it sounds muddy, try a small dip around 200 to 400 Hz. And if the snare feels harsh, you can soften a little bit around 2 to 5 kHz. The point is not to completely change the loop. The point is to make it cleaner so the stereo processing later has a better foundation. A clean loop widens better than a messy one. Now let's think like a mix engineer for a second. We need to split the job into two parts. What must stay in the center, and what can be pushed to the sides. Keep the kick centered. Keep the snare crack centered. Keep any low tom hits or subby body elements centered too. Those are the anchors. They're what make the break feel strong. The things that can widen are the hats, shakers, room noise, little percussion bits, reverb tails, and filtered top layers. These are perfect for stereo movement, because they add excitement without destroying the groove. A very easy way to do this is to duplicate the track. So now you have one version that stays the core drum sound, and another version that becomes your width layer. Think of it like this. The first track is your solid center. The second track is your atmosphere, texture, and spread. And the width track should usually be quieter than the main one. A good starting point is somewhere around 8 to 14 dB lower than the center track. It should support the groove, not take over. Now on that width layer, add a stereo effect. Two really useful stock devices here are Chorus Ensemble and Echo. If you use Chorus Ensemble, keep it subtle. Try a light amount, a slow rate, and a low dry slash wet amount. You're aiming for width and gentle movement, not an obvious wobble. If the effect starts sounding like a chorus preset instead of a drum edit, it's probably too much. If you use echo, keep the feedback low, and use short times like 1/8 or 1/16. This can create a nice spread and a bit of motion. But here's the important part. Don't let the echo fill up the whole drum sound. You want the impression of space, not a messy delay cloud. A really smart move is to high-pass before the echo. Put EQ 8 before echo on the width layer and remove the low end, maybe somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz. That way, the delay and stereo spread live mostly in the top end and upper mids, where hats and break texture belong. This is one of the biggest lessons in D&B width. Let the sides live high, not low. The low end should stay focused and controlled. After your widening device, add utility again. This is your control knob. If the layer feels too narrow, push utility width up to around 120 to 160%. If it gets floppy or weird, back it off. Somewhere around 130 to 150% is often plenty for a beginner. And just to be clear, do not start by widening the whole drum bus. That is a common mistake. Widen the texture layer first, and keep the main drum track more direct. That way, you get contrast. Contrast is what makes the stereo image feel exciting. Now let's add space. Create a return track and put reverb on it. We're not trying to drown the drums. We just want a little room and atmosphere so the edit feels bigger and more finished. Start with a medium room size, a decay time around 0.6 to 1.4 seconds, and a short predelay around 10 to 25 milliseconds. Put the return at 100% wet, because that's how return tracks work. Then send a little snare, hats, or percussion into it. After the reverb, at EQ 8 on the return. High pass the low end, usually around 200 to 400 Hz, so the reverb doesn't cloud the kick and snare. If the tail is too bright, low pass around 8 to 12 kHz. This is a classic old school drum trick. The hit stays punchy up front, while the reverb adds width and depth behind it. You hear the drum clearly, but the space around it feels bigger. And here's a good arrangement tip. Use more reverb send in the last bar before a transition or drop. Then pull it back when the bass comes in. That contrast makes the drop hit harder. In drum and bass, a little restraint goes a long way. Now we're going to make the edit move over time. This is where it starts feeling like a real musical section instead of just a loop. Automate the width layer, the reverb send, or the echo wet level across the phrase. For example, you might start a little narrower in bars 1 to 4, then gradually open the width in bars 5 to 8. Then make the last bar before the transition the widest moment. After that, tighten things again when the drop lands. That push and pull is huge in DNB. The ear loves movement. Even tiny automation changes can make a loop feel alive. You can also use filtering for this. On the width layer, start with the highs a bit closed off, then slowly open them up over the section. If the early bars feel too bright and modern, darkening them a little can actually make the loop feel more authentic and old school. Next, if the loop still feels too narrow, add a small percussion layer in a drum rack. This could be the closed hat, shaker, rim, or a tiny ride accent. Keep it simple and use it like seasoning. You can pan lightly, or use auto pan if you want gentle motion. But keep the settings subtle. We're not trying to make it sound like a stereo effect demo. We're trying to make a believable drum edit with width and energy. If that percussion starts fighting the snare, just lower it. In many cases, a quieter part is actually what sells the whiteness, because it gives the ear something to compare against. Now let's glue the whole thing together a bit. If your layers feel too separate, add a glue compressor or a drum bus on the drum group. With drum bus, keep it light. A little drive can help, maybe 2 to 6, and only a small amount of crunch if needed. Don't overdo the boom for this lesson. We're focusing on width and edit energy, not extra low-end weight. With glue compressor, aim for just a few dB of gain reduction. A ratio around 2 to 1, a slightly slower attack, and an auto or moderate release can help the layers feel like one performance. This is important, because old-school DNB edits often work best when they feel like one chopped-up break, not a bunch of unrelated layers stacked on top of each other. Now comes the most important part of all. Mono checking. Put utility on the drum group and hit mono for a moment. Listen carefully. Does the kick stay strong? Does the snare still hit properly? Does the groove survive, or does it collapse? If the whole thing falls apart in mono, the width is too extreme. Back off the stereo width, reduce the reverb send, or make sure you've removed low frequencies from the wide layer. The rule is simple, the center should survive in mono. The width is there to enhance the groove, not replace it. That's the big beginner mindset shift here. Width is mixed decoration. It is not a fix for weak drums. If the break doesn't already groove, make the groove better first. Then widen it. A few common mistakes to watch out for: too much reverb, hats that get huge and disconnect from the break, spreading low-end stereo content, and overprocessing before the groove feels right. If something sounds worse, simplify it. Sometimes the best fix is just reducing the effect amount. If you want to go a little darker and more authentic, try high-passing the wide layer more aggressively, maybe around 300 to 700 Hz. That keeps the stereo image up high, where it feels cleaner and less shiny. You can also use slightly darker ambience instead of bright, glossy reverb that often feels more jungle, more old school, and more believable. Here's a really useful workflow tip too. Save one version of the chain that is just your core mono-safe drum sound, then build the width on top of that. If something breaks, you have a clean starting point to come back to. If you want to push this further later, try resampling. Record the widened break to audio, then chop it again. That's a very jungle-style way of working, and it can sound much more cohesive than endlessly stacking effects on the original clip. So let's recap the main idea. Keep the kick, snare, and sub in the middle. Widen the hats, textures, reverb, and little top-end details. Use stock devices like Utility, EQ8, Chorus Ensemble, Echo, Reverb, Drum Bus, and Glue Compressor. Automate width and send so the edit evolves across the phrase. Check mono often. And remember, In drum and bass, the best width is the kind that makes the groove feel bigger without weakening the punch. For a quick practice challenge, try this. Load a 1-bar old school break, duplicate it, make one track your center version and the other your texture layer, high pass the texture, add chorus ensemble or echo, widen it a bit with utility, send a little snare and hat to reverb, automate the width over 4 or 8 bars, then test it in mono. If you do it right, the loop should still feel like a proper DNB break, just wider, deeper, and more exciting. Nice work! This is one of those small techniques that makes a huge difference in the finished vibe. Once you hear a break open up in the right way, you'll start spotting width opportunities everywhere in your drum and bass productions.